is Rob. Who's on for you?
Hey, Rob. It's Larry. Ryan just ran to the restroom.
Okay.
Are you, Barry, are you on?
I'm on.
Okay. And Barry's up in New York.
Excellent. I am on.
All right. Couple of quick things. Ryan will just jump in. But one of the referrals that we got last time we spoke, we're actually meeting him on Friday.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Due to the hurricane, due to everything else that we've had in the interim, it's been a little bit different to a degree. But we were able to kind of, I dripped on him a little bit, follow back up. And we were able, we're going to New York this week to go meet prospects or clients. And then we're going to meet with them on Friday before we head back home.
Perfect.
So,
hey, Rob, we're also going to be meeting the other Morgan Stanley team up there also.
Going to be meeting who?
The other Morgan Stanley team that's looking to do some joint teamwork with us.
Oh, great. Great.
Yeah. They're actually in New York.
City.
Yeah.
So it's a very productive trip to New York.
Any trip to New York is kind of like 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag. So, we will be busy running around from spot to spot and dealing with the New York traffic and everything else.
I like that.
But you're taking advantage of it anyway.
We're trying to take advantage of it. You know, we there's an American fund, Morgan Stanley, meeting that we're going to on Thursday and Friday. So Wednesday we're flying up. Barry's picking us up. Then we're going to Garden City. We're going to have lunch with a client whose son is an attorney up there. They have $1 million with us in Massapequa, are over $1 million with us already, and we're trying to explore more with the Sun and have a chance to see if there's opportunity there. And then we're meeting the team from New York that we're trying to do more joint business with in our PM model. They have the capabilities of giving us probably $40 million. We'll probably get some of that. But hopefully we can, you know, get most of that in our model, in our structure. So that would be nice. And then we're having dinner with another client while we're out on Long Island on Wednesday.
Right.
Oh, then we're meeting a prospect on Friday for $5 to $10 million.
Yeah, that's. I was telling him about that earlier, Ryan.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. Then Thursday we fly or come back into the city. Thursday, American Funds gets a song and dance. Then Friday morning at 7:30, Morgan Stanley's home office, and they're going to do a song and dance, and then we go meet the prospect. So it'll be an event-driven week, that's for sure.
Lots of songs and dances.
Yeah. The other prospect that we got the referral on, I have followed up with the CPA. Actually, a couple of times, but she does not want to give us his phone number, so to me it's not a referral, but she is trying to keep it in the forefront and see where it goes. So we'll see what happens.
I also got the proposal from the trust guy finally.
Which one?
Did you guys? And I sent it over. I forwarded it to Bradley.
When did you get it?
Day before yesterday, I got it, finally.
So you got it on Saturday?
Yeah. I couldn't believe it, but I forwarded it out. It's already gone.
Does it make sense? Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cheap enough.
It's what? I didn't hear what you said, Barry.
They did a good job with it. We'll talk about it later. But it looks good.
Okay.
Good. What else?
Is there any opportunity in New York this week, Barry, or last week and this week?
Well, possibly one opportunity, but nothing beyond that. I don't think there's Pantanade is actually coming back this week too. So it's kind of slow this week, to be honest with you.
I didn't know if it was anybody at the wedding or anything. That Sue's usually pretty good about introducing you around.
Oh my God, Sue introduced me to everybody there, but it was an interesting venue. But there wasn't anything to do there. It wasn't the right atmosphere. It was blasting music. Everyone was drunk dancing, including Sue. It's quite funny.
Got another $2 million since our last call, Rob.
Good. From whom?
One client consolidated in another $400,000 from USAA. One client rolled in $100,000 retirement, and then another client got a $1.3 million, $1.4 million distribution that we've been waiting on a little bit.
Who was that?
Moss.
That Moss money came in?
Yeah.
Awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, I'm just shy of $9 million for the year now. We got some more stuff in the pipeline trying to get some people to move some stuff here.
Right. But it doesn't matter where it comes from, does it?
Well, it does to me, you know, like, of the $9 million this year, it's really only been half of its new clients. A lot of it is, you know,
consolidation.
Yeah, consolidating existing clients. So those existing clients will run out of money away if we do our job. So, you know,
right.
Want to get some more new blood in, but yeah, to your point, yes, if we can all bring in $9 million a year, that'll be, you know, if we're growing by $30 million a year, then, you know, $35 million, you know, whatever, it's great.
Yeah,
we'll take it any way we can get it, but you know, we did have $4 million in December. We had another million earlier. I just don't count those two towards, those two came from more like team referrals. So I don't count those in that number. And then we're also getting more money into the option strategy. One second, Barry somehow hung up on us. I'm going to conference him back in. Are you there, Barry?
Yeah, sorry. All right.
We're getting a lot of road noise from you.
All right, I'm going to mute.
Okay. So we're also getting a lot. Another new advisor is going to be adding some clients into the option strategy that we run, and we got another couple of accounts from two other advisors in that strategy. So that is also growing, and you know, leading to incremental business. You know, it's not. Anything that's moving the needle drastically, but at this point, we now, you know, it's definitely in the neighborhood of $15,000 to $20,000 of additional revenue per year. So it's starting to make a difference. Yeah.
And more importantly, there's not a lot of work, or we don't have to change anything from what we're doing now to see an incremental appreciation out of it.
Right. Yeah. It's not taking up our time per se, other than to run the initial stuff. But yeah, we're up to 52 accounts now in that strategy, and we're at $21 million, and I'm expecting another $2 million or so in the next few weeks. That'll get us to $23 million. You know, so it's noticeable at this point.
how much do you think that Franklin Group, how much do they have with Pelican Bay?
I know they have 30 or 40 million between Pelican Bay and Meridian Group. I don't know how much. I know they have at least, like, they mentioned a block of 8 million they're looking to potentially move. But they've always got a lot of irons in the fire, and I'm kind of not going to really give a shit until they, you know, I don't want to say that, but just, you know.
Until they do it.
Yeah. You can tell me or dangle whatever you want in front of me. I'm like, okay, great. You know, when we get, we're actually discussing doing something about it. Then at that point, we can.
Okay. Ryan, do you want to discuss? Because my connection's terrible. Do you want to talk about the CDFA thing that we sent out?
Who did it go out to?
Oh,
we sent out.
We sent it to Carla
so she can see what we're
working
on.
You can talk. Yeah. If you're talking, go ahead. We can hear you. Just the rest of us are talking, and I don't want to listen to all the noise.
No, I got you. So we sent out the proposal to Carla, one of the managers, for the presentation following your way of doing it, Rob, where you said to make it about. Just make it about a bunch of facts. I kind of overloaded everybody with it. I asked questions in it instead of making it sound like a pitch. I made it all fact-based, like with, you know, like 20 or 30 different facts in it. You know, what do you do, you know, talking about how clients' personalities change when they're going through a divorce, how the... you know, how, you know, what do you do when you're...
You there?
The things that I did was I emailed the CFP board and finally got a response from the CFP board with an opinion from them concurring with what I thought to be the fact is that any advisor that represents both clients is breaching the fiduciary obligation. And I got it in writing from them.
And the firm sent out something on that too. If anybody's getting divorced, the firm wants to know about it. So not that they do anything about it, but they want to know about it because one advisor was trying to help but ended up making things worse.
Yeah.
Probably getting
so
sued.
It creates a sense of urgency now for the advisor to bring somebody else in, which is what we want to jump on helping them separate the relationship.
Did you get any feedback on it, Sarah?
We didn't. We sent it to Carla last week, and she has not responded back, good, bad, or indifferent. But we're supposed to go to New York with her Wednesday, or she's flying up Thursday, I reckon. So we will see her and spend a little more time with her, obviously. So
I think, Rob, I think the really valuable part was the opinion from the CFP board. You know,
yeah.
Because that means that anybody who's a CFP is almost barred from being able to represent both sides. You can't do it.
It's really good.
I'll send it over to you if you want to see it. What they sound. It's interesting.
Really, really cool.
Yeah. So I'm going to use that as almost as an exhibit. Maybe just pass it around to people to enlighten them about it, especially people who have their CFP.
Yeah. Some people will probably want it. Some people won't. But anybody that wants it will be more than happy to send it to them.
Yeah.
Well, you become it's kind of like a white paper. You know, you become the expert, a thought leader, and that's always good. You know, you get credibility.
Yeah. Good.
Good job.
Thanks. to go back on mute.
What else?
We're just trying to get Tim is also in New York this week, probably for the next couple of weeks, actually, with his training for Morgan Stanley. But with Tim being here, we're trying to work on a little bit more of the marketing, trying to work on a little bit more of building the practice that we want to build, getting some of this stuff done, and trying to continue to make steps. They may be small steps, but trying to, once again, make the practice something that we want it to be.
How are you doing on meeting and using the spreadsheet on acquisition, the tool that we talked about for prospects, suspects, up to ambassadors and that stuff? Are you meeting?
We haven't done
that?
Anything with it.
I think we're doing horrible on that. As far as the VISPA or client meetings and plan reviews and that type of stuff, where I think I'm the only one doing it. Ryan was the only one that did the suspect, prospect spreadsheet. So neither Barry or myself have done that. So that's still kind of a sad state of affairs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you guys are going to do whatever you want to do. And if it's not important, just put it in the someday pile. But it seems to me as a team, it was kind of a powerful tool to use to help everybody. It's an accountability tool, no question, but it's also a kind of a wake-up tool, too, to tell you incrementally what you need to do. And it just brought out so many good things. Moving a customer to a client to an advocate, an advocate to an ambassador, just that by itself is just a great tool. So, you need a pipeline tool. I don't know if that one's good or not, but anyway, we're making some progress on that. I've got Touchstone working on it. They wanted to help, and so we both came up with the idea almost simultaneously for the pipeline tool, because it was something that the market needs desperately. And we developed something, and then they say they've refined it and have it in testing with a few FAs, and they're going to send me another copy of it. But it's kind of fun. I'd love to have some, you guys represent a lab for me that I'd love to use, but, it's up to you. If you used it and gave me some feedback, I could then, make improvements on it and make it work better for you guys and for other people. But, if you don't use it, then I it's not much help to anybody. So we'll put it in the nice things to do list.
I think for us, if we have an identified prospect that we get a meeting with, typically for us, we close pretty quickly with pretty high regularity. Our problem is just getting more prospects. For instance, you know, we brought one guy in at the beginning of the year, and he's like, oh, you know, I don't want to have a relationship with you. I, you know, just want to work with you. And
I don't want to play golf.
We're not. You know, we've already golfed twice. You know, like he's talking to me about. You know, he's like, I'm going to keep all my money separate. We've already got, you know, one of the accounts closed out, and I just sent him some stuff, and he's like thinking about moving. You know, he's got another couple million, and you know that he may be working on. And once we get in, like we get in pretty good, and we start converting over pretty quick, and. You know, I think we're not doing it because for us, that's not what our thing is. What we need to be focusing on is getting more qualified leads, because if we get five leads, we close four of them and quickly and solidly, and, you know, that side of the fence. Like, we don't lose a lot of accounts that we want. It's just we don't have the referrals, the COIs in place, and the deal flow that we need. Like, we need more high dollar deal flow, because pretty much everything we get we're closing, and we need more of it. That's what it is. And I know there's other things we should be doing to do that. And I'm not saying that we're doing everything and we're perfect. That is not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, in terms of tracking from prospect to close, it's not like we're cold calling and identifying a prospect and then meeting with them or working our way into an event with them 3 months later and da 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 da. Like, we're not targeting prospects like that right now. We are just, quite frankly, I guess, taking what's given to us, and maybe we should be targeting prospects or going after individuals. Like, but I don't even know like who to go after. You know, like, Richard Wileman was always like, he always said, keep a card in your pocket of 10 people that you want to meet, and always have that available. And all of his Bentley dealers used to do that, where they said, oh, can you, you know, do you know a way to get me in front of any of these 10 people, and kind of like work your way in front of those people. Like, we don't know who our target is. Like, we don't have a target like that. Like, we're just right now, it's like, get us in front of someone with money and we can help almost anyone. You know, and, you know, we're not like, and I've been car shopping, you know, lately, and I was up in West Palm Beach, and I was test driving the BMW SUV, and then on a whim, some people have said, oh, you should go test drive the Porsche Cayenne. So I go into this Porsche dealer and feel completely out of place, but the sales guy there was actually really good. He's a really good sales guy. And he was completely, and he had me completely sold on this Porsche deal. And right now, like, I still want a Porsche SUV. And, like, part of the reason was he was selling the exclusivity of it. He's like, the average Porsche buyer has a household income of $500,000 a year. The average BMW buyer has a household income of $200,000 a year. He's like, how many BMWs do you see? How many Porsches do you see? You know, like, and he starts talking about his clients. And he's like, I work with this guy as a financial advisor, and he only takes $50 million and above. You know, he doesn't even want to talk. Someone has $3 million, they can piss off, you know. And I don't think that's true. I'm sure he talks to people with $10 million, or, you know, maybe he does a stair step to the stars. I don't know. But the guy was a Morgan Stanley or a Smith Barney guy, and then maybe he was a Morgan Stanley guy or whatever. And he's talking about this real estate agent that only sells houses on Palm Beach, and this real estate agent made like $20 million last year selling these grand estates on Palm Beach. And someone has a $2 million house in Delray. He doesn't want to hear about it. It's not worth his time to drive down the 10 miles to Delray for a $2 million sale. And whether it's true or not, I don't know, but I've been fixated and obsessing over, like, how people get to this level and, like, what it is that sets them there. Like, are they born into a rich family? Like, do they know people somehow? Like, do you just get one really big one that introduces you around, and all of a sudden you have the credibility? And I don't have all the answers. You know, I'm sure a lot of it, you know, they're doing this supernova type stuff. But, like, for us, it's how do we break into the next level of human beings, essentially, is what we're trying to do here. Like, I'm tired of talking to my dad's retired firefighters that each have $1.5 million,
and are completely distrusting, and it's like a 6-month process to get them to believe you're not trying to screw them out of their money. You know, like, I don't want to work with people like that. I want people that have $20 million that understand the game. They sold their business. They've been in the market for a long time. They don't freak out if the market goes up or down. And, you know, some of them are demanding, but if we're bringing value to them, then they'll let us make a little bit of money, you know, like, and like, those are the types of people that we're trying to get to. So right now, in our day, I have a list of like 100 things that I need to do right now that I'm never going to catch up on, that I need to figure out a way to offload to Tim or to offload to Christine or to, you know, to come in 5 weekends in a row. I don't know what the answer is. But right now, like, we have business that's like sitting there on our books, you know, and with the market, like we do some of these transactional things where they're like income notes that have contingent barriers and things like that. And we can't do some of those right now because the market's high and we haven't had a lot of good deals. If the market corrects or we get some volatility and some key names, we'll be able to do $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 of revenue in 5 minutes on those. But we're trying to be disciplined and not just throw them into crap. You know, we're trying to incept a bunch of accounts. We have a couple million dollars of accounts that need to get up and running, that we need to get these people in front of us, and we need to do all this stuff. So, like, we're not even operating at maximum efficiency right now. And then we have countless levels of bullshit that come up at any given day where it's like, you know, our frickin' compliance people are on us right now to complete training that's due in the middle of November on stuff that is like a monkey should know not to do this. You know, it's like, hey, if an Iranian gas station check cashing store operator wants you to just open an account and wire money to Egypt, you know, do you circumvent the firm's systems to do that? You know, true or false? You know, it's like, and it takes you like an hour to click through the screens. You know, it's like, but I'm just saying, like, we're under fire from this. So if we supernova like we should, we have less of that bullshit to deal with, you know, because we have fewer clients that are calling us in. Like, right now, I'm supposed to raise cash for this lady that's dwindling her account down that we've been talking about firing for a year and a half. By the way, Barry Brager's out of money again. So, you know, let's figure out something to do with her before she runs out completely. Because she's, you know, taking 15% draw on a portfolio and thinks that that's sustainable forever. But I'm saying, like, our side, Rob, is we need to get to the next level of people, and we need to figure out how to do that. And we know it's not by doing what we've been doing. Like, we're not idiots. Like, at least, you know, if we think about it, we're not. If we just do our day to day, we'll kind of keep doing what we're doing. But so we understand we have to make some change here. Like, change has to happen. Change is hard, as you're well aware. So it's like, how do we focus on doing that and getting the practice to the next level with that higher level of people? The new guy we brought on is really smart. Like, trading wise, he's extremely knowledgeable. You know, like, he's talking to me about some option strategies that I haven't really considered before, and we've implemented a couple trades that he's talked about doing, and, you know, like, and he's technically capable, and he can do anything we ask him to do on a computer. You know, like, he can do all of it. He can figure out the software. He's great. You know, like, in terms of raising assets and getting in front of people, you know, we'll see. We'll have to, you know, he's used to a target approach where he targets a prospect and goes for it when they're doing the pension plans for $1 billion and stuff like that. So he may bring a different element to us. But, like, for us, part, you know, we're not doing the tracker because we don't have time to do the stuff we're supposed to be doing. And then next on that is the stuff that's trying to get us more referrals. Like, we've had a couple of meetings fall through just with the hurricane and all the other crap that's come on with some attorneys that we're supposed to get together with. And I've introduced a couple of other attorneys and CPAs, and, you know, we're getting some of that going. And Larry just got this nice $5 or $10 million referral from this other CPA up north that he's been working on, and we've been sending them information and market updates and stuff like that. So we're getting there, but, like, you know, we have a ton of, you know, we're not using our time as effectively as we should. We should be time blocking. We should be doing a lot of things, but, like, we're not getting out in front of new people and new COIs where we should be meeting with, you know, a couple COIs a week to try to find the next good one, and we're not doing that. And the reason we're not doing that is because we're having a hard time identifying who we should be going after and who there's opportunity with, because we're not out in the community enough as we need to be. because of life and children and in-laws and, you know, dad's businesses and two-year-old speech therapy classes and, you know, that's what's, you know, like that's what's kind of getting in the way, at least with me. And I'm having difficult conversations with my wife where it's kind of like, okay, you know, like, I understand you want me home every day at 4:45. You know, in her world, I'm home at 4:45 every day. You know what I mean? And I'm in a situation where I'm talking to other advisors that are successful, and they're telling me I need to be out four nights a week, working the you know, charity circuit and the you know, all the other stuff, and, you know, doing happy hours with attorneys and all this other stuff. And I know that, you know, but like trying to figure out the balance is the hard part, you know. And it's like, if I had no wife and kids, I would be out all the time, you know. But then it's like, you know, how do we reconcile this, you know? And Larry's wife is the same way, where she doesn't want him out all the time. And Barry's fiance is the same way, where she doesn't want him out all the time. And, you know, like what is it that we do? And I don't know if it just comes down to how bad we want it, you know, or how much we're willing to give. But I'm just saying, like that's kind of where we are. Like, we're looking down the barrel of understanding what needs to happen. And it's just a question of, you know, what is it that we do? Like, do I just tell my wife, hey, two nights a week, I'm out, peace, done. You know, like, I, from here on out, I got Tuesdays and Thursdays are Ryan business development nights. You know, and put the girls to bed and tell them I love them. You know, like, is that what needs to happen? And if it is, tell us. You know, like, I mean, like, but like, well, for me, I'll tell you the aggravating thing is like beating my head against the wall, doing the same thing over and over again. And, you know, like I'm tired of plateauing here at $2 million. I want to get to $3 million. What do we have to do to get to $3 million? The answer is we need to bring in multiple accounts that are greater than $5 million. You know, that's how it's going to have to happen. And we have to get rid of 20, 30, 40 accounts that are $300,000. And then, I mean, that's it, right? I'm gonna stop talking. I had two sweet teas for lunch, if you haven't been able to pick up on that. I am ready to go, Rob, ready to go.
No, I mean, it's, you don't have to do anything. The question is, what is the right thing to do that builds sanity for you and balance and still grow? And the answer is probably half of what you said. So you don't need to be out two nights a week. You could, but you should be out one night a week. Okay? And you don't need to cut your book in half, but you need to cut it down in order to find time. Because everybody,
those are all
takes
things that we have done too.
But you got to do it again, okay? You got to do it again. You're not in a place yet where you have excess time. None of you, not that I hear. And until you get to a place where you feel comfortable, you have excess time, you're never gonna feel like you will. What you're doing is constantly making a choice between your clients and your prospects. And the clients are always, almost always winning, unless somebody hands it to you. And if that's the case, you're never going to get the $5 and $10 and $20 million clients, because they don't wait for you. They don't just show up. So that's your answer, and you're not going to meet most important people in the community with the most money, unless you're on some boards that are the right boards and they take some time. You got to have your mastermind groups. You got to have your centers of influence. You got to have your niche marketing with your center of influence inside the niche, and you got to meet with them on a monthly basis for lunch. Unless you do that, it's not going to happen. Okay, there's other things you can do. You can ask your existing clients for introductions, which you're not doing. So you can avoid a lot of the hard work by just simply using your own clients, but you got to ask them. If you don't ask them, then you got to do the other stuff. So it's a choice. It's all choices. You know,
can we phrase it differently and ask our clients who are the wealthiest people you know, or, you know, I mean, instead of saying, "Oh, do you know anyone?" Like, do you think
no,
we kind of
stepped
up?
You can ask
him,
"Who should I know?" You know,
maybe that's
all
better. Who should we know?
Yeah, who should we know? Who should I know? You know people in the community. Who should I know? I mean, that's a great. I had a guy when I first moved to Indianapolis. He knew everybody, and I asked him, "Who should I know in this community?" And he said, "Oh, I'll take care of you." So he invited me to a bunch of lunches and, you know, Chamber of Commerce things, and introduced me around as the manager in the office. So you got to make an excuse for it, you know, like, you know, I've got more time. I cut my book back. I'm only working with larger clients. I'd like to expand my business. Who should I know? You can do it with a VIPSA. You can do it a million different ways. The point is, you know, don't keep me a secret. And it isn't your client's job to remember that you're acquiring new relationships. You can say it very, you know, we're going to take on 3 or 4 new families in the new year. I'd like to meet some people to make that happen. Who do you know that would meet our criteria? Well, what's your criteria? Criteria is 5 to 10, $15 million, ideally people that are like you, business owners, whatever the guy is, you know, nice people, people that would be a good fit. We'd love an introduction, but just simply helping do some brainstorming with me would be a big help.
Sounds so simple.
I know, but it's just a desire.
Yes.
And Brian said, you know, the desire's there. The skills don't have to be as great as the desire. If the desire's there, it's going to happen, even if you're not as skilled. You guys are pretty well skilled now. I mean, you can listen to my chapters on each service, on each technique, until you're blue in the face. But if you don't use them, you're not going to get good at them. Don't expect that you're not going to be great the first time you do it, that you're going to get better and better and better after you do it. Look at how you present now. You present the option strategy a whole lot better than you used to. Whatever it is you do often, you're going to get better and better and better at.
Correct.
I mean, you took the effort. You know, you bought the golf clubs. You know, you went in, you signed up for the lessons, you bought the golf clubs. Now you got to play, guys. You got to play. I can't help you if you don't play. You know, and hunt. Pretend you're Russian spies, and you need to meet somebody that you can turn.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta, you know, go back and watch the Americans, and then realize the amount of commitment that they have to meeting the right people. It's unbelievable, and what they'll do then to turn them. Unbelievable. So start a little dark unit.
Okay.
Make a list of the people you want to meet and then go after them. Well, the other thing is, which I've been telling you guys, is that, you know, create a mastermind group around people that service people that sell businesses. If that's what you want, Ryan, you keep talking about it, people that sell businesses, have a network of people, a mastermind group, that works with those people all the time. Now, that's going to take you a couple of years to build. But, you know, we've been hanging around for a couple of years now. If we'd have done this at the beginning, it'd be built by now. But it's got to be fun for you. You got to want to do it. You know, if you don't want to do it, you know, enjoy what you're doing. It's a desire thing. I think Ryan hit it on the head.
Yeah, and the ideal situation is to have fun while we're doing it. Even have fun while we're doing work so it doesn't become work.
Right. It should be fun. You know, if you get a babysitter and go out with another couple. If you don't want to go out during the week, make it a social thing.
Yeah, my 2-year-old is ruining my life on that side of the fence, but yes.
Yeah, but that still doesn't mean that it can't be. I think you should be all right with it.
No, like we can't leave her with a babysitter right now. We're one of those stretches.
Yeah, you just, you know, but one night a week, if it's important, but if it's not important, don't do it. You got to make it important or not do it.
I think I may just talk to my wife and make him one day a week. Like, just she won't see me that night, or you know, I won't be home until after the girls are down, and it'll be my job to fill it with something worthwhile.
Right. I did nothing around the house, and I told my wife I was going a couple nights a week, and that's how I was going to pay for this stuff. So we weren't ever going to. I was never going to. You know, mow the lawn or shovel the driveway or clean the attic or whatever. And we would pay for those things. My job was to go make the money. And she was good. Don't think that the people that are very successful haven't made
it. I don't think they're accepted the same way now.
What are you saying, Barry?
I think for some reason I don't think it's accepted the same way for now.
Larry's family's kind of been a little bit more traditional gender roles, but Barry and I have both had
brutal,
highly professional women that expect, you know. The parenting roles be split very equally.
my daughter's husband works, he owns the 86 company, which just sold out to Brown and Foreman. And he's gone pretty much from Monday through Friday.
Right.
Gone. It's not like one day a week. No, he's gone. You know, he'll be in Singapore, he'll be in London, he'll be in, you know, he's either up at, you know, up in Louisville at their headquarters, or he's somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there are families today that are, you know, the husband has to go and do his job, or, you know, don't do it. He's the president of their division, and so he's got a busy job. And they've got a 5-year-old.
Am I telling that to them?
Right.
So
I get it.
It's amazing that you're lucky to be home. But you do go to New York. Somebody's going to New York. So you're not home then. So I guess it's acceptable
sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like with your clients. Unfortunately, you know, it comes down to a negotiated training situation. You negotiate. It's like training your clients not to call. You know, you got to train them.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to train everybody in your life that this is the way it's going to be. And, you know, if that's what you want, then this is the price we got to pay for it. Nothing is free.
Right.
So look, it's your life, and I don't understand your life as well as you do. So you do what you can and what you need to do to make it good, but you're asking, you know, your coach whether or not you should, you know, play in tennis tournaments. And I'm telling you, if you're not going to play in tennis tournaments, you're not going to get any good. You're not going to be a world champion. You got to play in tournaments. You got to get in the game. If you're not in the game, how can I help you get better? You got to get in the game. And the game is not just taking what you can get. The game is making things happen. You making them happen, not somebody else. So, you know, the skills, that's why I asked you to listen to each chapter once a day for 5 days. So you'd have the skills. And I can't be there to kick you out of the office. So I can't tell you, what are you doing in here, Ryan? You're supposed to be out meeting with the center of influence. So you guys have got to do that.
Sorry, Barry's anyway. Call dropped again.
I'm here. Okay. No, look, you're doing great, guys. Just, you know, if you want the next level, you got to make a little bit more of a sacrifice, or you just have to cut down on the number of clients, and then you'll have plenty of free time. So, you know, do it one way or the other, but you got to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you have too many clients. I don't care how many you gave away. Your complaints are still the same. I'm overwhelmed. I have no time. I've got 100 things to do. That means you either get more help from another sales assistant or you get fewer clients. Okay.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
So pick a way, you know, do it. Figure out what's the ideal number of clients that you want to keep, and then get rid of the rest. Figure out you need more help, more support, hire them. Leverage. Leverage is the name of the game. Leverage, 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 leverage. Productivity through leverage, not your own productivity. Your own productivity you can control. You use other tools to raise your productivity. Other people's hands and feet in your brain. In their brain.
Okay.
And you do it while things are good. You do while you have the cash flow, you spend it. Okay?
Okay,
go
thanks.
Get. All right, guys.
Thanks.
Good talk. Thanks. Bye-bye. Thanks.